The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I'm Josh Zinke. Jeff Childs, Tony O, Matt Misler all in the studio with me. And Jordan Lewis, like he tweeted out 13 hours ago, restoring tradition one game at a time.
Boom.
That's what Michigan is doing with their victory yesterday, 32-23 over those darn Spartans. All right, let's take a few phone callers. Let's go to first, David in North Carolina. David, how you doing?
I'm doing real well, guys. How you doing this morning?
Not too bad, David.
Well, I just wanted to give you my perspective on the game. I have to admit, you know, during the game, I was kind of disappointed at some of the things that were going on, particularly in the fourth quarter. And then I woke up this morning and slapped myself a few times, and I said, what are you thinking? Because we won.
Right.
And we did what we had to do. And, you know, you need a game like this in order to be challenged, and we were challenged. And, you know, quite frankly, if we win every game down the road by 1 point, we'll be the national champions, and that's a fact.
That is a fact. That's true. Very true. Looking at what they did yesterday, and you can nitpick. There's always nitpicking going on. We're Michigan fans. That's what we're supposed to do. But at the same time, when you come out with a victory, it doesn't matter how the rest of the game went, because in years in the future, we're going to look back and we're going to see the victory and that call that happened at the end of the game that we're sure not sure of with Mike D'Antoni, what he did, what he was trying to go for 2-4. Why would he do that?
He did that for one reason. He wanted to rub Michigan's win in their face.
Yeah, and we did. We made sure to run it back and celebrate in his face after it was failed.
That was very sweet, even though it didn't matter, I have to say.
That's very true.
The one thing I would say that I didn't like was, and I think it was Jordan that made the comment after the game, is that we kind of took our foot off the gas. I didn't like to hear that.
Right.
I didn't like to hear that. But other than that, you know, I'm glad for the win. Let's fix what we need to fix, move forward. And by the way, Ohio State is very beatable right now. Whether that will continue, I don't know, but they are very beatable.
Thank you, David. Yeah, you're very right. Watching the Northwestern game, they almost pulled it out. We've seen many, you know, they're getting lucky. You know, they're actually pulling out ahead, and it seems like they're going to overtime a lot, but more film for us to see, more film for the other schools to see, and maybe we have some of it after yesterday's game, some film that we haven't been, you know, we haven't shown to other teams coming out of the games we've played beforehand. But that's all right. I'm sure there's a lot more tricks in Harbaugh's bag and Don Brown. So Tony O, let's talk about this 2-point conversion. Your thoughts?
I thought it was a horrible call. I mean, I thought it was really selfish on Dan. I mean, it didn't help his team get closer to winning the game. They went, first of all, the play that they decided to choose, they had tried it earlier in the game and it didn't work at all. I think they fumbled it or had something. It was a negative yardage at least.
You're right.
So so it was already a play that had a low success rate. And then you're comparing it with a field goal where your kicker is like the leading program score in history of Michigan State. So you go with a play that already hasn't worked for you, that's not going to work, statistically probably not going to work, and you do it when it doesn't help you get closer to winning the game. I thought it was really selfish on Mark D'Antonio's part. But it reminded me a lot of a call that he made in the Maryland game to end the half when Michigan State was tied with Maryland. They were, I don't know, it was probably like around the 30-yard line. They had 30-yard line. They had 30 yards to the end zone, and they decided to go for a fake field goal run. Okay, and they were, and I think they had like, I don't know, 15 or 20 yards to a first down. That was another play where it's like just a terrible call. I mean, how is it that you're tied with Maryland and you don't want to go into the half with a lead?
And if I remember, Tony, the actual execution of that play was awful. Like, it came nowhere close to being a success.
Right, but I mean, and but even if it, like, I mean, it was just a horrible call. And he's had a couple of these throughout the season. A couple in the game yesterday. I mean, like you guys mentioned earlier, the fourth down, going for it on fourth down. I don't know what it's just.
You take the points in every situation, and you know, maybe that's just D'Antonio or his bravado in that game, or just not very intelligent play calling. But that was the third quarter. There were a couple of times in the third quarter. I'm like, you make that play in the fourth quarter, or you try to make that play in the fourth quarter. You don't go for it on fourth and goal from the, I think it was from the five. At that point, you do that later in the game when the game more hangs in the balance. But at that point, you have to take the points.
Yeah, and it so it's almost like, so we're going to see this punt from last year. We're going to see it every time these two teams play. But now we have this year and the end of the game, how it ended with
the Peppers moment.
The Peppers moment of him running back. And yes, Abeloff was standing there, and I'm like, you know, he fell down because I'm like, just don't keep running because it does get slippery after you get out of the actual grass of the end zone. So, I had still, I've kind of talked it over with a lot of people, and no one can give me, like, the reason why. And I believe they asked Coach Harbaugh about it, and he said, ask them. I don't know what he was doing for that reason, going for two. Because, yeah, they even you go onside kick it, you kick the extra point, and if somehow you run it back from there, which they possibly could have, and then it ties up the game, and then maybe would he go for two again and try to outright win it? Who knows?
And then all the Michigan fans earlier this week on our programming that were concerned about a close game and another miracle moment for Michigan State, then they would have been in position for that very miracle moment. I mean, it was still a long ways away, but it was within the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there was 1 second left, and you think, oh, nothing can happen. But we saw last year and how things can go wrong so fast.
Yeah, I thought it was just selfish. It didn't help his team get closer to winning. I thought it was so that when he thought he was going to lose the game, and this way he comes out looking like, well, he had this nice trick up his sleeve to get it closer, and you know it was a genius play call, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. All right, let's take our second caller, Don from Sylvania. Don, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I enjoyed the win. I don't understand why D'Antonio would give us more highlight footage, especially help Jameel Peppers make a better run at the Heisman. And basically, that's going to be played for next 365 or 49 days. I don't understand that. Maybe he's playing with the ghost of last year's past. I don't know. But what disappointed me, this is the bad side, because I always want to end on a positive note. The bad side is too many times, it reminded me of UCF, we lost the edge. You know, our safeties and or DBs usually came down and closed very quickly, and we didn't do that yesterday. It seems like one half the ball offense came off the bus, and the other one was kind of lagging behind. I don't know if they took, you know, the 2-6 record into account, or they didn't really think that offense was that good. You know, give L.J. Scott a lot of credit. That was one of the few guys out there that was playing with passion and conviction and running the ball. The line did pretty good there. That was the best that line's looked all year since Notre Dame. So I was impressed with their line play. They did have a guard tackle right on top of Peppers the entire day. They were pushing them around. So, yes, he made some great plays in the backfield, but, you know, man up one-on-one, you know, Peppers gives a lot of weight and weight and size. The offense, I think our quarterback did very good. Mr. Spaeth did very good in the pocket awareness. You know, he had some people right in his face. He stepped up in the pocket or just eluded the blitz, and he read his people down the field. So he looked for Darbo, and that seems to be a very good matchup for him right now. He saw Jake Butt slipping out, too. So he had very good pocket awareness, I think.
Right, yeah, I thought Wilton did very well doing it, yeah, and pretty much he did a great job of staying where he needed to do. He kept the pocket going and moved it side to side and was able to step side to side to make sure he didn't take those hits and get away from that. But, yeah, the Peppers thing, see, as Michigan fans, I don't think we care to replay that. I'm not going to send my Michigan State friends, hey, here's the clip that you need to see over and over again for the entire year, because it doesn't really help for us, because it really was, there was no point to it, and we're all just confused by why he went for two instead of
It's not like the play last year for Michigan State where they framed it and put it on a wall or something. It's not that type of a play, right
not at all. All right, let's take a look at these receivers. Like you said, Darbo, you probably give an A+, Jeff.
Yes, A+. I mean, best game of his career, career high in receiving yardage, A+ for Amara.
Yeah, 8 receptions, 165, 43 yards was the longest. Jake Butt, 3 for 35. I felt like when you going into this game, we had to be more balanced. Either they're going to try to take a, I wanted them to be confused and kind of play chess with them to, all right, you're going to load the box, all right, we're going to throw over top of you. When you start pushing your guys back off, or you watch the safeties, you see them not cheating up as much, then you go ahead and run the ball. And you can do that. You can make, you know, wherever they're going, you go somewhere else. And it really, it's a step here or there to get around these guys. And I think that is the truth when looking at it. They did take their foot off the gas. They saw they were up. The third quarter, they've always had the problem when they come out of after halftime and they kind of let off and say, all right, we have most of these games. And that's what I think happened yesterday. Even though they had a good drive in the third quarter where they were able to do what Michigan State did in the first drive and totally walk it down the field and may actually get points from it. If we could have anything to be better, for me to be negative on this team, which is what, one of five now? One of five undefeated teams in all of college football. And that's what I said during the break to Tony O. If you're doing this radio show somewhere else, most places, you're not talking about great things. You're not talking about being undefeated, especially. And Michigan State, what are they talking about on their radio show right now? Is how we almost had them. And
what could have been.
Yeah, and how we're still 0-5 in the Big Ten. Like, that's not a great show. And that's why when you call in, I want you to be happy. Overall, just realize the win matters. Everything else that happens, we can fix. And maybe we need to be challenged more than we have in the other games. Because it really wasn't that. When you come out to it and you're number two in America and you're 8-0, 5-0 in the Big Ten, you're the only undefeated team left in the Big Ten. That is great.
You come out smelling like a rose, Jay-Z.
Well, hopefully you're somewhere even better.
Fiesta.
We'll go to Fiesta. Let's take one. We'll take a look at the running backs. Eddie McDoom led the team with 53 rushing yards and two carries. 33 was the longest.
Yep.
Higdon ran very well in that third quarter when they were going on that long drive. 10 carries for 44 yards. Then Devion Smith, 11 for 40. 38 net and then two touchdowns. That's great to see. And then Peppers, 29 yards gained, 24 because he did lose five, and he had a touchdown himself. So, your thoughts, and I got something to talk about with the two-point conversion.
Well, Jay-Z, I thought the backs were good. I didn't think they were great. I mean, maybe I say that because we didn't have really one back in this game that sort of carried the load for Michigan. Davion had a long of 20, Eddie McDoom a long of 33 on that jet sweep, but just beyond them, looking at the offense more generally and the play calling, I thought Michigan showed a lot of different looks in this game. The balance was there, whether it was the jet sweep from McDoom, Spate and Darbo's connection in this game. You saw Peppers in the Wildcat, and on McDoom's reverse butt threw a great block and then had a 26-yard catch the very next play. So I thought Michigan overall, the play calling was balanced, the blocking was pretty good in this game, and I was very happy with the balance they showed on offense.
Tony, your thoughts on the run game?
Anytime Eddie McDoom comes in, I'm always excited because it seems like most of the plays, they end up being a first down or 20 to 30 yards like we saw yesterday. And the other thing that was cool about McDoom was even the crowd in East Lansing, you could hear it over the TV.
Yes,
McDoom.
You could. So it was a great job. With McDoom, the speed on this team is amazing because there was a couple times where Peppers made the corner and you could tell the Michigan State guy was like, how did he get around me?
And I'm not going to get to him.
Right. How did he beat me around the corner? And that, I believe, was for his one touchdown. He just made it around the corner and was a few yards by that time, and he took a good angle. It was kind of like, oh, wait, you're over there now. How'd you get past me? All right, two-point conversion, last on that. I want to say, what if Peppers, he ran straight through? What if he does a kind of Desmond and runs circles through the end zone and does the Heisman pose? What's your thoughts on that?
I think, well, the play itself was impressive. I mean, I think that would have been a nice smack in the face to Michigan State if he were to pull the Heisman. I don't know if you call that a Heisman moment.
There's still like four games left.
Yeah.
But why not go? I mean, you've seen that on Twitter yesterday where there was four people and you voted. Jeff, I know you voted for Peppers, and I kind of clicked on it just to let, hey, I'm voting for Peppers. Yep. But then it's like, you got to tweet this out. I'm like, nah, I'll do that later. and I just thought that was one of those things when you saw Desmond do it. It was like kind of like, oh,
And it put a stamp on things because you knew that was Desmond's Heisman moment. I think for Jabril, he might have a few more opportunities left, but he would certainly be in New York City.
Let's not forget when Desmond did it, he beat the entire, Ohio State special teams.
Right.
Peppers essentially beat no one.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He beat everyone because they all gave up. They gave up on the play while it was happening.
Yeah.
True.
And I kind of did think that. There was where the back was nowhere close to the ball where he was supposed to be, and it was kind of like, oh, well, he's got it, and he picked it up perfectly, and he's going to run. Faster than anybody we have, unless someone comes off the bench. But, yeah, all right, just let him go. He's probably going to do more harm to himself if he actually, you know, maybe falls in the end zone if he keeps running through it.
And I'll say, Jay-Z, really quickly, it was so poetic that Jabril was the one to do that, too, after everything. After the win last year for Michigan State and everything happened, for him to be the guy, and, you know, Michigan State fans, I'm sure, cannot stand him, to scoop that up and get the two was just very poetic.
Yeah, all right, let's go to a new caller, JJ from Lincoln Park. JJ, what's going on? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, you know what? Nobody said what I thought was the key play of the entire game, and that was the first drive of the third quarter when Wilton threw the interception, and the guy looked like he was going to be a pick six, and then out of nowhere, our Superman, number 52 in your program, but not number one in your heart, Mason Cole, come, saved the touchdown, correct?
Yep.
And they didn't get any points on that. I think that had a twofold effect. We stopped them, and it put Michigan, I think we were a little bit more conservative than we should have been for the rest of the game, thus allowing the fourth quarter comeback, because our offense went into a, you know, it wasn't as dynamic as it was in the first half. I think that was the play of the game, and it should be commended, not only for the defensive stop, but the hustle by Mason Cole and the rest of the people chasing that Spartan with the interception. And to me, that was the play of the game. And I want you to, the fans out there, and I want everybody to think about, the last year's play was like, you walk into your house and somebody breaks into it, and you see all the stuff thing, and you get that sick feeling to your stomach. And then before that, we just got punked for all them years. We got punked by Michigan State. I don't care how the heck we had to do it. They're outmanned this year, and we have the edge of the quarterback. And their quarterback was a little bit better than ours for the last, say, 6 or 7 years. But I'll say this right now. I'm proud of the guys, and I couldn't be prouder of winning the game any way we had to do it. Unless you get out there and you compete against another human being of equally talented, our coaching staff really is an advantage for us. No disrespect to Coach D'Antoni because he had a fine game plan. But we are really fortunate to be watching the staff that we are getting these players in the best position to win. We'll see if they can continue it. And I feel so much better today than I did before the game and after last year's game. I have a great big Michigan smile on my face, and go blue to everybody. Love ya.
Whoa, a double splash going on there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, a new guy on the Sports Talk 1050 WTK. His name is Brian Cook. He's starting a blog site. I believe he's just getting started. We'll go ahead and invite him over here. I want to introduce him all. You're listening to this WTK's Playground.